Thank you for that introduction. And while we kind of let the presentation load, I'd like to thank everybody for actually coming out to my presentation to actually listen to my topic, which, as Dr. Tabanya mentioned, is actually estimating sugarcane response to fertilizer nitrogen using an in-season vegetative index. So to just get things started off, I'm actually going to talk a little bit actually about sugarcane production as it pertains to Louisiana sugarcane production. Sugarcane is one of the most important row crops in Louisiana agriculture. Sugarcane is also very unique in that it's actually a semi-perennial crop, which means that it is not replanted annually. And in Louisiana, we typically get approximately 3 harvests out of each planting of sugarcane. These harvests are termed plant cane for that first harvest after planting, and stubble cane for those successive harvests after that first harvest. Also, sugarcane is typically grown in tropical and subtropical regions, with Louisiana actually being one of the most northern points in its actual traditional, or right now, its growing conditions. So to shift a little bit to actual nitrogen management, nitrogen is one of those essential plant nutrients, and it's one of the most limiting growth factors in many cropping systems. And anybody that's had the opportunity to work with nitrogen management in any cropping system knows that nitrogen can be very difficult to manage. One of the reasons is the nitrogen cycle within the soil system is a very dynamic cycle. And if you take a look at the actual representation to the right-hand side of the screen, we see there are many additions represented by the green boxes. Once the nitrogen is actually in the soil, there are many transformation pathways in which the nitrogen can take, as well as many loss mechanisms represented by the yellow and the red boxes in that nitrogen cycle. And these nitrogen losses are one in which we were particularly interested, because nitrogen loss can lead to a negative environmental impact. One of these is that we're very familiar with in Louisiana is the potential for surface water and groundwater pollution of nitrates. But also it can lead to a decrease in agronomic profit. So our current nitrogen management recommendations for Louisiana sugarcane are based on nitrogen response trials that are carried out throughout the sugarcane growing region of Louisiana, and these are conducted over many sites and many years. And we found the best way to actually determine our nitrogen recommendation is to refine these response trials results based on both soil type and crop age, to where we normally apply a higher nitrogen rate to our heavier textured soils, such as our clay soils. We normally apply a lower nitrogen rate to our lighter textured soils. In Louisiana sugarcane, we're talking mainly our loamy soils and our sandy loams. And also on crop age, to where we normally apply a lower nitrogen rate to our plant cane than we do to our successive stubble cane crops. However, this method of determining nitrogen recommendation does not take into account the current crop's nitrogen demand, residual soil nitrogen, nor the growing condition of the sugarcane crop. So there's a potential of overapplication of that nitrogen fertilizer. So to try to minimize the effects of that overapplication, or to try to minimize that loss, what we need to do is think about only applying nitrogen fertilizer when the crop is going to actually be responsive to that nitrogen fertilizer. However, determining when the crop actually is responsive is a lot more difficult than it may appear. And throughout the sugarcane growing region of Louisiana, there are many actual assets or facets of sugarcane production that can actually compound the difficulty in determining crop responsiveness. Some of these is the alluvial soils. We have a soil map of Louisiana, very dynamic and can shift in very narrow time or a very narrow range. Also, the weather or the growing conditions of the sugarcane crop, as well as the actual sugarcane crop itself, to where traditionally and typically in the literature it's been said that plant cane, or that first harvest after planting, is not responsive to applied nitrogen fertilizer. However, those successive stubble cane crops are typically responsive to nitrogen fertilizer. So what we need to do is actually determine a method or a technology in which we can utilize to determine when the sugarcane crop potentially might be responsive to nitrogen fertilizer. And one of these methods that shows a lot of promise is ground-based remote sensing. Now, these ground-based remote sensors provide an in-season evaluation that can help us to estimate the crop's responsiveness. Now, these ground-based remote sensors have showed a lot of promise or a lot of potential in other crops, such as wheat and corn, throughout the United States. And in this study and in today's presentation, I'm going to be focusing on using a value called a response index value. And I'm going to refer to the response index as a response index NDVI, or normalized difference vegetative index, as well as the response index harvest. And these two values are actually calculated traditionally very similar in that the response index NDVI is taking the NDVI reading of the high nitrogen plot, or that plot has received unlimited amount of nitrogen or non-limiting amount of nitrogen, and comparing that to the NDVI readings of the check plot, or those plots that have received no additional nitrogen fertilizer. The NDVI at harvest, or the response index at harvest, is calculated very similarly, where you take the yield component of the high N-rate plot and compare that to the yield component of the check plot, or the plot receiving no additional nitrogen. So for this study, our questions were, can sugarcane yield response to applied nitrogen be estimated using this spectral reflectance measurement? And then if we are successful at potentially estimating this sugarcane response, when is our timing, or when is that optimum relationship between response index NDVI and response index at harvest? So the site was carried out over 4 years at two different locations, one of these being the Sugarcane Research Station, located in St. Gabriel, Louisiana, which is actually the northeast star there on the map, and also at the Iberia Research Station in Janaret, Louisiana, which is actually represented on the southwest star on the map. Sensor readings were taken with the GreenSeeker handheld optical sensor, which measures at the red and the near-infrared region in the electromagnetic spectrum. The GreenSeeker then utilizes these two reflectance measurements to determine the NDVI reading, and that's actually the main output of the sensor. These sensor readings were taken weekly for 3 weeks, and the initiation of our sensor readings were approximately 3 weeks after fertilization, with our fertilization dates actually varying throughout the studies. These sensor readings were taken on pre-established nitrogen rate trials, in which the nitrogen rates varied from 0 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare to approximately 201 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. And now, not all studies had the same nitrogen rate. All studies did have that zero, or that check plot, in which we could compare. And our studies were replicated 4 times. At harvest, a chopper harvester was utilized to determine sugarcane tonnage yield. Prior to actually going through that plot with the chopper harvester, 10 whole stalk subsamples were taken and analyzed using a near-infrared spectrocane system that can determine sugar yield as well as sugarcane quality parameters. For statistics, an analysis of variance was used to determine differences between our check plot and our nitrogen fertilized plot to just see if each year did they have a response or was it not responsive. And then a regression analysis was utilized to determine the relationship between response index NDVI and response index at harvest. So when you actually take a look at how the sugarcane yield components responded to applied nitrogen, what we found is, as I mentioned previously in the presentation and as literature suggests, is that our plant cane crops were not responsive in any site years to applied nitrogen. However, when you take a look at the stubble cane years, we found that 7 site years out of 12 site years were significantly responsive to applied nitrogen. And within these responsive years, our actual sugarcane yield response to applied nitrogen varied based on year and site, to where some years we did not see the high nitrogen rate plot was the significant response, or the highest significant response, and yielded the highest. And most years we actually saw that a lower level of nitrogen rate actually was the significantly highest yielding and highest response. So when you take a look at the actual relationship between our two response index values, what we found is, if I kind of set up the graphs here at the bottom of the slide, where we have the response index NDVI along the x-axis and the response index at harvest along the y-axis for both sugarcane tonnage along for that left graph and actual sugar yield for the right graph here, we found that there's a strong significant relationship between our two response index values. However, taking some of the information I mentioned from the previous slide, we have a problem in sugarcane production of utilizing that traditional method of calculating response index, in that using solely the high N-rate plots sometimes did not yield the highest or had the highest significant effect within our nitrogen rate plots. So what we determined is we needed to modify how we calculated our response index values to where we compared the check plot to all nitrogen fertilized plots that we had for each study. So, for example, if you were to have a 0 kilograms, 45 and 90 and 135 kilograms per hectare plot, we would make a response index value for each of those plots comparing it to the check plot. And we did this for both response index NDVI and response index at harvest. So when you take a look at the relationship between our new modified response index values, we found similar setup to the graph where we had the modified response index NDVI along the x-axis and the modified response index at harvest along the y-axis for both cane tonnage and sugar yield. We found a strong significant relationship using our two response index values using that modified method. However, we did see a slight decrease in coefficient of determination values, but what we actually gained by using this modified response index value is some agronomic benefits of actually being able to determine which nitrogen rate corresponded to our highest response. So now that we have determined that we can utilize this response index NDVI and response index harvest, we need to determine in sugarcane what is our appropriate timing for collection of this response index values. And what we found with this study is that 4 weeks after fertilization was the optimum timing for determining our response index values. We found that 3 weeks after fertilization, we either had a non-significant relationship between our two response index values, or the relationship was not as strong as they were at 4 weeks after fertilization, to where I focused the previous two slides on. However, we did see that 5 weeks after fertilization provided a strong relationship between our two response index values. We would like to have the earliest time to actually determine these response index values to try to correlate or kind of get right in with the typical time frame for actual nitrogen fertilization for sugarcane. So with that, what we found with this study is that we can use spectral reflectance and it shows potential of being able to estimate the crop's responsiveness and sugarcane's response to applied nitrogen. And while the modified method did provide slightly lower coefficient of determination values, we gained some agronomic benefits using that method. And also, 4 weeks after fertilization was the earliest timing for finding the relationship between the response index NDVI and the response index at harvest. And with that, I'd like to thank the co-authors of this presentation, Dr. Brenda Tabanya, Yumiko Kanke, Dr. Howard Vieter, as well as the soil fertility team, potentially soon to be Dr. Marilyn Dallin, the St. Gabriel staff, as well as my committee for all their help along the way. And with that, I can attempt to field any questions or comments that you may have. Yes, sir.
Yeah, did you apply one time?
Well, for each study, all the fertilizer was applied at one time. But for each individual study, the fertilizer timing varied. That ranged from early March all the way through our typical time frame for nitrogen fertilization for sugarcane in Louisiana is within the month of April. As well as we had fertilization timings later into May, all the way through the end of May as well. So we had very variable nitrogen fertilizer timings. And across all of those timings, we found that 4 weeks after fertilization was the optimum time frame for determining. Yes, sir.
That's a 4-week optimum.
Do you have any idea what the LAIs were? No, we did not collect any LAI values for this study. Yes, sir.
Going back to your 3 versus 4, at 3 weeks you had a very poor relationship.
Yes, sir.
4, it was very strong. What happens during that one week period? Can you explain?
That's a very good question, and I think it's just with those some years that potentially might be a little drier than others, that response is not showing up at that 3rd week. However, when you saw the 4th week, as well as the 5th week, and in some of the trials we actually have 6th week, but we didn't have them across all of them, we saw that there was a strong relationship between those four. So I think it's just it takes a little bit of that time for the actual sugar cane to take up the nitrogen fertilizer and actually show a response at the canopy level. Yes, sir. Well, it actually varies about how old the crop is. We're actually currently in the midst of sugarcane harvest back in Louisiana right now, where we normally harvest our older cane first. The second stubble is harvested around October. November is our first stubble, and then the plant cane gets harvested around December. But it all just depends on, you know, being able to get out in the field and actually harvest. But within the October to December in Louisiana, because of our chance of freezing and those freezing temperatures, we majority get them out from October to December. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Did you go in and see what those clusters were? Are they in different locations?
No, they're actually, you actually see those response. I mean, some of them could be different locations, but it's not a consistent trend. Specifically, when you're actually looking at the modified method, to where you have a lot of those different nitrogen rates, they you know, somewhat fit along that line. So those years, or those bottom cluster, were just those years that were not responsive to applied nitrogen, and that upper section, if you will, were those years that actually did respond to fertilizer nitrogen. So it wasn't the year or the site; it was just what site years were responsive and what site years were not. And we actually saw, as you guys did see, that the graph kind of filled out when you utilized more of those nitrogen rates than just that high N-rate plot. Thank you, guys.